2, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. By the way, there's a report out of Cleveland that basically the general manager is picking the assistant coaches for Freddie Kitchens. That's going to work well.
Oh, boy.
That's probably just not going to last very long.
How mad is Greg Williams?
Apparently, the hot rumor is he's going to end up being the defensive coordinator for the Jets.
Oh, interesting. So him and Adam Gase together?
Yep.
Cliff Kingsbury could use a good defensive coordinator out in Arizona.
Do you think?
I would think with his defenses in college anyway, he might want to do that.
So we mentioned when we were talking to Peter King last hour that 6 of the 8 coaching openings in the National Football League have been filled so far, all by white coaching candidates. Yeah. There are 2 positions left open, and there are black candidates being mentioned prominently in both Miami. And it kind of sounds like Chris Richard might be the leader in the clubhouse there.
Yeah.
Sounds as though Brian Flores has kind of dropped back a bit in the hierarchy of candidates there. And the only real candidate we know of in Cincinnati, and it's stupid, both for them to hire him and for him to take the job, is Hugh Jackson. But there's been a lot of talk about, 5 black coaches were fired in the purge of 8 coaches at the end of the season.
Right.
6 have been hired so far, all white candidates. There's a guy named Dale Hansen. He works at a TV station in Dallas, and he's one of these commentator types. And I always like listening to him. He popped onto our radar screen when he was clobbering the Cowboys in Dallas for hiring, sexual abusers as part of their roster. And Dale Hansen just eviscerated Jerry Jones. So Dale Hansen yesterday took on this whole topic of new head coaches in the National Football League, and especially Cliff Kingsbury.
Been a lot of criticism of the Arizona Cardinals hiring Cliff Kingsbury as their new coach. Even my guys Mike and Jonah have been questioning that hire. But Kingsbury fits all the criteria to be a head coach in the NFL. He's an offensive genius, he's young, and he's white, and not necessarily in that order. There have been 6 new coaches hired so far, all white, and 2 coaches of color they are replacing. Stephen Wilkes, fired in Arizona after just 1 year. Vance Joseph in Denver after just 2. But Cowboys coach Jason Garrett is in his 9th year, apparently because he wins so much. A lot of people don't understand how Kingsbury can have a losing record at Texas Tech, no NFL experience, and get one of the 32 NFL jobs. But getting fired at Tech doesn't eliminate him from moving up. At least it doesn't to me. I've had 11 jobs in my life, been fired from 8 of them, and moved up every time. And I am arrogant enough to tell you, I think Channel 8 was right to give me another chance. But I am the product of white privilege in America, and I've never denied that I wasn't either. If they made a poster, my picture should be on it. Getting fired at one place and getting another chance isn't the problem. But young, talented coaches of color not getting the chance, that's a huge problem. The covert racism of the NFL ownership group was so bad, the NFL had to make a rule so that minority coaches could at least get an interview. Cowboys secondary coach Chris Richard has been interviewed, and there are reports saying he might get the Miami job. After what he's done with this Cowboys defense, how could he not? Unless it is true, what black parents have been telling their children for decades now, you have to be twice as good to go half as far. I dream of the day when those parents are wrong.
I love Dale Hansen.
Dale Hansen. Yeah, nice jab at Jason Garrett.
I know, because he wins so much.
He couldn't help himself. I do think, and I'm not saying what he said was wrong, but if you look at some of these teams, he mentions Wilkes getting 1 year, Vance Joseph getting 2 years. I think it also speaks to the franchise. Like, I don't know. I don't think they got fired. I don't think either one was fired because they were black. I mean, they both got hired there. I think these are just bad franchises, and they don't know what they're doing right now.
Right.
Because, for example, if you want to do this, Mike Tomlin and Marvin Lewis essentially have had jobs for life because they're in organizations that's what they do. Whether it's right or wrong, they hire a guy and they stick by him, and they just stick with him. Marvin Lewis finally got fired this year. Mike Tomlin, you can make a good case, should be fired because he's not getting enough out of his talent. But they've both been there forever. So I also think what's pretty important is out of the 6 coaches that have been hired so far, 5 of them are offensive. Like, that's the trend, too. And
right.
I know it's a lot of white. It's a ton of white coaches. There's no getting around that. But it's offensive guys. That's the trend right now. And Kingsbury and Kitchens and Matt LaFleur, even Bruce Arians, Adam Gase, all offensive guys. The only one that's not is Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator from the Bears, had a great year with the Bears, and that's who the Broncos ended up going with. But that's the trend right now, and we'll see what happens with the last remaining jobs. The Bengals, Hugh Jackson could be there. I think they've also interviewed Eric Bieniemy.
Vance Joseph, reportedly.
So Cincinnati may hire a black coach. The Miami Dolphins, you know, we talked about that. Maybe it's Chris Richard. I think they've also interviewed Eric Bieniemy and Brian Flores. Hanson's, so there's a chance four tops, but you might only have two out of 32 to begin the year.
Hanson's point about why the NFL instituted the Rooney Rule is valid.
It's a good point.
They put it in because everybody kind of knew that there was a racial bias in among National Football League owners about hiring a minority head coach.
It is pretty amazing when you think about that. That has to be a rule.
They had to put a rule in
right
to at least ensure that guys got interviews.
So you can't tell me that there wasn't a problem. Like, and again, we've talked about the rule too. Like, it's certainly not perfect. I mean, there are some good parts of it. The fact that it's even there probably leads you more to that. That's
a bad thing.
That is a bad thing that it even had to be there. But there are examples of coaches who got the interview, and you just hope that the teams are actually giving those candidates a real shot. Or are they simply just checking off a box and saying, all right, next guy, like we already made up our mind. But if they're actually sitting there listening to who the best candidate is, because that's what it should be. If you're a team and, you know, as a Patriots fan, haven't had to deal with this in 20 years, but every year you just want your team to hire the best guy.
Absolutely.
That's what you want, but you want to make sure that they do that.
I have serious doubts about whether Cliff Kingsbury is going to be the best guy in Arizona.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they went too far down the, we want the next Sean McVay, and so they just found a guy that looks like him. Found a guy who looks like him and a guy who's an offensive guy. Now, at least he has head coaching experience. There are some guys on this list.
But he's had some.
You know, Matt LaFleur has never been a head coach. Freddie Kitchens has never been a head coach at any level. And that's fine. Like you can find new guys. So at least Cliff Kingsbury, that's one thing he does have over those guys. I'm not saying he was a wild success.
Exactly.
But he had 6 years where he was the guy. He wasn't just a coordinator who could draw up great plays. He had to oversee the entire team. Again, not as much success as you would like to have on your resume, but he did it for six seasons.
All right, one other quick thing here, going back to the whole Kyler Murray thing. We mentioned the possibility of Kyler Murray being drafted by the Arizona Cardinals. They have the first overall pick. If they want him, they can get him. Adam Schefter.
Imagine if he was the first pick in the draft.
Adam Schefter is now wondering whether the Cardinals are interested in Kyler Murray and would trade Josh Rosen. He doesn't say to the Patriots. He says,
yeah, just in
you know,
general.
Would they just trade? My Nesson colleague Doug Kide writes about this as well. He says, and I don't know this to be true, but Doug's a pretty good reporter. He says the Patriots showed some interest in Rosen when he was coming out.
Because I don't remember. I don't recall that.
I don't either.
And maybe I didn't want to believe it. Maybe. No, I don't know. I just remember the Baker Mayfield rumor, which I thought was really good, really juicy. And then the Lamar Jackson stuff. You know, there was those two guys. Like, oh, that'd be interesting. And then we tried guessing what quarterback they might take. And, you know, would they grab a guy in the third round, like Kyle LaLetta? Remember that name came up? Or Mason Rudolph?
Yeah.
None of that happened. They finally get Danny Etling super late. But Josh Rosen, I mean, that would be such a Cardinals move. You have a head coach and a quarterback starting fresh in 2018. You're terrible, so you just give up on both of them. And then so now you're starting over again. And so maybe it's Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray. And they could probably go 500 in the Big 12 with that duo. Maybe slightly better, actually, because of Murray.
I'm looking at a piece that Doug Kide wrote last April. He says, after acquiring an additional first-round pick from the LA Rams in exchange for wide receiver Brandon Cooks, the Patriots have the ability to move way up in the first round of the draft if the right player starts to fall. One of those players who could fall is UCLA quarterback Josh Rosen. The Patriots have expressed interest in Rosen, a source told Nesson.com.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, maybe they could bring him in and have him, you know, be a backup for a couple of years and go from there. I mean, I think if the price, it's all about value with the Patriots. So if they could get him for, especially they say that, like, he was the 10th overall pick just last year. And if his price comes crashing down, I could see them taking a chance. Because at least he gives you some idea of what the future might be. Like, what they have right now is nothing. There's no future quarterback here.
You'd like to think not. Unless you think Danny Etling is just going to make this quantum leap Because you certainly, no. Yeah.
Brady will make more starts in the NFL starting now than Danny Etling will. And Hoyer, add them both together.
I'm leaving Hoyer out, but I'm not going to pretend that I know much about Danny Etling. We don't get to see practice. We don't get to see
what
he looks like. I know.
He was trash. He got on the practice squad. Nobody claimed him. I wouldn't worry about that. Now, not to say that undraft or seventh round picks can't, you know, make a, you know, start in the league, you know, a few seasons like Matt Cassel, but I wouldn't hold my breath on that. It's gonna be somebody else.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Mike's in East Longmeadow. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up, Mike?
What's going on?
Hey, I have a question for you guys, and it's got a little bit to do with the coaching situation in the NFL, the black and white situation. Can you think of any other coach other than Marvin Lewis, who happens to be an Afro-American, who's been with a team for 16 years and has never won a playoff game and kept his job?
No.
Probably not.
Look, I thought that Marvin Lewis should have been fired years ago.
Years ago.
So did I. And I'm just curious, and I know that's only one incident, but I can't think of anybody anywhere in the NFL for the last 50 years that is even close to that.
No, Cincinnati's kind of an anomaly, though. They're their own thing. I mean, they really are. I mean, they might even hire Hugh Jackson after he went 1-31. So there's, I mean, that is, without question, Mike, that's an example. But I feel like they're almost an outlier. Like, they're barely an NFL franchise.
Going into this year, I thought I heard one of you say that there were only two black coaches. There were more than that, weren't there?
No, right now there are two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there was eight last year. Now there's two.
That was my only question.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Yep. All right, thanks. Appreciate the call. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. There is a tantalizing story in the National Hockey League, by the way.
Tantalizing?
Oh, because, you know, when they don't tell you stuff, you start to make stuff up.
Oh, I can make stuff up with the best of them.
Oh, well, you'll get a chance in just a couple of minutes. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Patriots march to Atlanta starts right here as they get ready to do battle with the Chargers. React and talk about it right now. Now back to Dale and Keith on Sports Radio WEEI.
I should start this section out by saying that, you know, professional sports teams have every right to withhold information when it concerns the discipline of players within their organization. They're under no obligation. There's no, hey, we have a right to know. No, you really don't. They can do what they want with it. But I wonder at times if they make things worse.
They definitely do.
Yeah. The Columbus Blue Jackets, their all-world goaltender, Sergei Bobrovsky. The Blue Jackets announced today that he will not be with the team for tonight's game against the Nashville Predators. The GM, Jarmo Kekäläinen, put out a release. He said, quote, "There are certain expectations and values that we have established for our players that define our culture. An incident occurred in which Sergei failed to meet those expectations and values, so we made the decision that he would not be with the team for tonight's game. This is an internal matter, and we will have no further comment at this time," unquote. Following the morning skate this morning, John Tortorella, the coach, was obviously asked about it. He said, "I think the release speaks for itself."
It does not.
He did not want to talk about it.
It does not speak for itself. So he did That's right. You're off the force. There's something. So he did something. They don't want to say what it is. So there's going to lead to wild speculation.
Well, and that's what happens here.
It's either some sort of physical altercation. It's drugs. It's like a DUI. Your mind can go anywhere. If it's something bad enough where you're not even allowed to be with the team.
Now, there are other reports out of Columbus which suggest that there's whispers that, you know, he's going to be back with the team tomorrow, back for practice tomorrow, which, of course, then leads you to believe that whatever he did isn't that serious.
Can't be that bad. But
it can't be a domestic violence situation.
Right. That shouldn't be just a one-day-off
situation. Right. So now you can't go to the game tonight, but after that, you're good.
Like, these are grown men. They don't have curfew, do they?
Probably not.
Maybe he was late like McAvoy for stuff?
Yeah, it's probably not even that. My guess is, and again, we're speculating wildly here.
Killed
because
a stripper.
They allow it. No, I don't think he killed anybody.
Okay.
I wonder if there was some verbal abuse of a staff member.
Oh, maybe.
You know, you give it to an equipment guy or you're ripping into a stick boy or something, and then you say, hey,
Sergei Bobrovsky, you're a loose cannon, Bobrovsky. You're off the case.
Tyler Kent. He is a loose cannon, maybe. Loose cannon Bobrovsky. What are you going to do? Yeah, but that is a case where if it's not that bad where he's back in a day,
the team hasn't said this.
True.
People who cover the team who are scrambling right now trying to find out. And you know what? It reminds me, this is totally different because there was no disciplinary action. But when Tuca took his leave of absence for personal reasons, everybody around here is trying to speculate. Well, what does that mean? What's going on? Now, the speculation has kind of died down. And again, there was no disciplinary action. The Bruins said, absolutely, you take the time.
Yeah, but that was both sides were okay with that.
Yes.
This this is not a Bobrovsky decision. This is being enforced by the team.
I wonder
if he's a bit of a Lothario. Could he be like...
beat Bobrovsky! You're now off the case, Bobrovsky!
Could this be a Tony Parker situation with the Spurs? Maybe gets a little intimate with a teammate's wife, perhaps.
Now, again,
that'd be a one-gamer, wouldn't it?
I'm quoting from Jarmo Kekäläinen. An incident occurred in which Sergei failed to meet those expectations and values.
I bet he made sweet love to a teammate's wife.
Would that only be a day?
That's a day. Everybody gets one. That gets one. Think about what
Hall
you did.
Pass?
Think about what you did. All
Is
right.
How many times you made such sweet love?
Yeah, he went once. It was an innocent mistake. Both had been overserved. It happens.
Good luck trying to trot that one out to the little woman at home.
I'm sorry, honey.
I got overserved.
Sorry
it's
about
not
that.
My fault.
It was Bobrovsky. What do you want me to do? He's a great goaltender. He won a Vezina at one point.
He did.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. They're all-world goalie.
Yeah.
And they say, he's not going to be with us tonight.
So I bet
he's not even allowed to be at the game tonight.
I bet Columbus Sports Radio is taking just a small break from Ohio State football to cover this story.
Just a
little break.
Is Dwayne Haskins going to go high in the draft?
Ryan Day, is he the answer here?
Where is Sergei Bobrovsky and
exactly.
What has he done?
What did he do?
Now, this is one of those situations where...
We'll sniff it out. We'll get on the case.
They give you just enough information to make you wonder.
To go nuts.
They use the word incident.
Yeah.
They talk about certain expectations and values that he failed to meet. Well, what does that mean?
I don't know. They have like team rules, I guess, and he broke a team rule. And then that sounds. But if that happened here, like in all seriousness, it's probably not that big of a deal in Columbus, or you know, they're going to move on. But if that happened to a player here, a high profile player here, I mean, the speculation would be
crazy.
Like you're better off just saying kind of what it is. I think they're protecting him, and then it opens the door up for a million things.
See, I actually think. It more like if it doesn't involve a staff member, my guess is he's got a beef with John Tortorella. And it's Tortorella who said, you know what? You're not going to be here.
He told him, hey, you're not starting next game. And he lost his mind at him.
Or I think he got pulled from a game recently.
Oh, it could be that, too.
And you know, we had that whole remember when Patrick Waugh got pulled from a game in Montreal and basically ended up getting his head coach fired and. There was that whole thing. I could see Bobrovsky and Tortorella bashing heads.
Yeah, Tuesday night they lost 4-0 to Tampa, and he got yanked.
Now there was a report at one point that he didn't. When he got pulled, he went to the dressing room and didn't come back to the bench.
He's on a bad stretch here too,
and I can
he's
see
not been good at
I
all.
I can see where Torts, who's not the most patient of people, by the way,
he could give you the business a little bit,
and I could see where Torts would say, "Really?
Yeah."
You don't come back to the bench? You know what? You're not playing. You're not even going to dress for the game on Thursday.
And then he took that and slept with a teammate's wife.
Well,
maybe he's like, you know what? To make myself feel better, I'm going to go pick out a lady here.
I don't know if this actually helps your case, Keith, but he posted on the old Instagram last
night. Here we go.
Night.
Now we're talking. What do you got?
No shoes on.
No shoes?
His feet up on a desk, on a cell phone. No words.
Who was he talking to, you think?
I don't know. It was 17 hours ago, so about 6:30 last night.
You might want to check your phone records if you're a married man on the Blue Jackets. Check those phone records. Bobrovsky making hookups.
A lot of people are taking that as he's leaving.
Oh, he's out of town.
Shoes off. He's got the phone. He's
out.
Shoes off. He's heading out.
Maybe that's just what he does at his house.
Maybe he needs to put shoes on before he leaves.
I pop my shoes off as soon as I get in the house.
Well, not to go there necessarily, but
you're shoeless right now.
No, I have my shoes on.
You were shoeless earlier today, which I found odd.
It's sometimes a little warm. Sometimes it's a little warm in the studio.
Oh, you got a hot foot?
I do.
You got a little bit of the hot foot?
I do, but I'll tell you what Bobrovsky has.
Yeah.
He's got some big feet.
Is that right?
He's got
big feet for a goaltender?
Sure, I don't know if that's a skill.
This is just going more and more into my theory.
You know what they say about a guy with big feet, right?
I do. Yeah, that's why I said my theory is checking out.
Big socks.
Thank you.
He's a bit of a weirdo.
Bobrovsky?
I mean,
well, he's a goaltender.
Goaltenders, no, it's, see, like, Tuukka's a real normal goaltender.
Did you see when he was in Providence?
Oh, yeah, but that was
lost
years
his
ago.
That's still in him.
He's actually almost too calm at times now. You almost wish he'd do that.
There you go. Now he's too calm. Now it's weird that he's too calm.
But goaltenders as a general group
are odd.
Well, first of all, the whole idea of somebody's going to shoot a vulcanized rubber object at 100 miles an hour, and I'm going to try to get hit by it.
Yeah. And it's like, you got
there's a certain mentality involved.
It is a little different. It's a little different. That's what you want to get into. But if you have cat-like reflexes, I guess that's a good spot for you.
Well, Bob, as they like to call him.
Yeah.
Sergei Bobrovsky has those cat-like reflexes, but apparently
we'll figure out, has
pissed off John Tortorella or Jarmo Kekalainen or somebody.
We'll get to the bottom of this.
We need to know.
The biggest story in the NHL right now.
We have a right to know.
We'll figure it out.
Probably we don't have a right to know, but...
Well, doesn't mean we're not going to ask.
Well, it means that the way they worded it leads us all to speculate, and sometimes that's probably not probably not fair. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It was a quick NHL aside just because the hockey Twitterverse is buzzing about what did he do and who did he do it to.
I think you've already gone way out there.
Uh-huh. You've taken it way beyond what I expected, but you know, it's valid. We don't know anything else.
We don't know that it's wrong.
Yeah, right? That's true.
You know?
So yesterday was conference call day in the National Football League.
It sure was.
And so Brady gets on a conference call with the media in Los Angeles. Philip Rivers gets on a conference call with the media here in Foxborough. Now they've got the little speakerphone thing going.
Mm-hmm.
And inevitably what they try to ask about is, you know, what do you know about Bill Belichick or whatnot? And Philip Rivers actually had a story. He told a story.
I love stories.
About Bill Belichick, which I think you'll get a kick out of.
I do remember at halftime of the Pro Bowl game, we were getting killed. And I think it was me and Peyton, and I can't remember the other quarter. I'm trying to think the other quarterback that year. I don't know if it was Castle. It was Castle, so me, Peyton, and Castle. And we were getting blown out at halftime, and he kind of called us all up and said, hey, we can tackle. Maybe we can, you know, I know it's a Pro Bowl and all that, but can we tackle somebody today? You know, let's go out and see if we can make this a little bit respectful in the second half. And then he looked over at us quarterbacks, and we had all thrown an interception. Thank goodness I wasn't the only one. And he said, it would help if you guys would stop throwing it to the other team. And I got a kick out of that because I understand about Peyton Manning and Castle, and Peyton's, if not my all-time favorite, one of. And I was glad I wasn't the only one that had thrown it to the other team, but I thought that was pretty good. I got fussed out at halftime of the Pro Bowl.
Bill Belichick fussing at him at halftime of the Pro Bowl.
That is a pretty good
story. See, he buried the lead. Matt Castle was in the Pro Bowl.
Once again, proving that everybody, if you're available, you're on the Pro Bowl roster.
That was the year Brady was hurt.
Yeah.
Castle played, and played okay. You know, not bad. And Belichick was a Pro Bowl coach, which he actually, he'd rather be in the Super Bowl, obviously. But I think he actually liked it because he's always kind of reached out and made relationships.
No, that was actually, I believe it was 2010.
Was that the one?
Yeah, because Castle made the Pro Bowl with Kansas City.
Okay.
He didn't make it with the Patriots. I think it was 2010. That was the year Castle went 10-5 with the Chiefs and had pretty good numbers. I don't know if he may still have been a replacement. I don't remember that. I think that's likely. I'm sure that he was. But that is pretty funny because... I can't imagine Belichick has coached too many Pro Bowls. I know he's done it, and every once in a while he'll talk about, you know, I think that's how the relationship between he and Chad Ochocinco or Johnson, I think that's how that got going, not just on the sidelines when they played against him.
But Junior Seau, too, the relationship
probably,
with he and Seau, I think.
Probably a lot of those. Ed Reed, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of them that he had a chance to coach.
But the fact that Belichick is as Philip Rivers put it, fussing at the quarterbacks at a Pro Bowl.
That's amazing.
It'd be good if you guys stopped throwing the ball to the other team.
That is great. That's really funny.
So Philip Rivers had that story that he shared with everybody yesterday as well.
I do like Philip Rivers. I am a fan of Philip Rivers. Good player. And that's funny that those guys, I mean, think about it. He's been in the league a really long time and kind of goes under the radar, I think. That whole team does because, actually, you know what? Matt Castle was a replacement that year for Tom Brady.
Of course. Because Tom Brady never goes.
I was going to say,
he won't go this year either.
Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Philip Rivers, Matt Castle. One thing.
Who doesn't belong and why?
One thing is a little different than the other. Now, did they come back and win that game? No. But they had a nice second half. He's right. They were down 42-7.
At the half?
That's what it looks like. They were down 42-7 at the half. They lost 55-41.
It's a nice fight. Belichick got
it. He did. He had a big second half. Way to go.
Good job, Bill. How to motivate those guys.
Nicely done.
It'd be nice if you could stop throwing the ball to the other team.
And they're probably like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, just think about it. 617-779-7937. Jerry's in Natick. Hey, Jerry.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
Good morning.
I feel the need to stand up for my fellow goaltenders. We're not all, you know, half a dozen, six short of a dozen, you know, that kind of
a
thing.
I don't know.
As might be suggested. First of all, Rich, you are correct. It does take a certain degree of expertise in the fast twitch muscle response.
That's right.
To be a goaltender, because you got to, it's not easy swatting, you know, as Doug, as Dale put it, a puck coming at you at 100 miles an hour out of the air. Dale, a lot of us who ended up playing net were found ourselves in that situation because we wanted to play street hockey with our older brothers and their friends. And we couldn't play. They wouldn't let us play. You know, you can't play out. Get in the net. You're the youngest guy. Get in the net. So if we wanted to play...
So basically you were abused by your older brother.
Wasn't everybody?
I was the oldest, so...
Well, so, yes. Put yourself in their shoes. Yeah, so, yeah, you know.
You were the abuser. But that, if you wanted to play, you had to play net. And I think Tommy Barrasso actually made reference to that. That's how he got his start.
Oh, no.
Tony Barrasso in there?
What's Tom Barrasso?
Tom Barrasso?
That's close enough.
So he was trying to make the case that goalies aren't weird. Okay. All right.
617-779. It worked, didn't it?
It got me, yep.
617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Over 18 yards.
We have Tom Brady at 5, huh?
Well, I have Breeze at 3, Phillip at 4. Right now, Phillip is younger and I think more vibrant than Tom Brady. I'm not banging on Tom Brady, but I don't think Tom is not the athlete. I don't think he stretches the field like he did. I don't think Tom's as good as he was even a year or 2 years ago. I would put Goff 6.
We sort of cut him off.
Was that Tom Brady at 5? He's ranking all the quarterbacks left in the playoffs. We did this exercise yesterday, and we both had Brady probably 5th. Because I think he's 4th in the AFC. If you take into account just this season, as well as who these guys get to throw to, unfortunately for Brady, that is a factor. But Patrick Mahomes, Andrew Luck, both better. I think Philip Rivers slightly is better. And then you got to give it to Drew Brees out in the NFC. The NFC's not as loaded this year, although Nick Foles never loses, so you got to give him credit for that. But Foles, Dak Prescott, and Jared Goff, I would take Brady over all 3 of those guys. But still, 5th? He's never 5th. Go back to every playoff run. He's probably 1st or 2nd every single year. This is a little bit different. And again, part of that is the guys he's throwing to. You know, you can't ignore that part.
I'm curious to see, as we get closer, I think when I last checked yesterday, the game's still at 4, right?
The number, yeah.
Open at 4.5. It's 4. Down to 4, but it has not moved as much as I expected.
Closest game on the board, according to Vegas, and all the money, it seems like, all of it, both against the spread and money line, is all going in on the Chargers right now. And I don't blame them at all. I mean, as soon as it opened up at 4.5, because I thought even if you take the Patriots, don't you feel like it's going to be by like 3? Like, I think it's going to be a close game, so I would be all over the Chargers. 4.5 or 4 even still.
I probably, yeah. I'm more wishy-washy about this game than ever
Patriot before.
Playoff game in recent memory.
Yeah, it's, I mean, because it's a real team in the divisional round. We're used to seeing fraud teams come in here. You know, they get a win wild card weekend and they, you know, barely a playoff team, and then they come in here and get smacked around, or oftentimes they have a really bad quarterback, or they have some major flaw. Like, I'm still looking for the big flaw with the Chargers. I think it's like we don't know what city they're from. That's probably the biggest flaw that they have. Quarterback, running back, receiver, tight ends. They're even getting Hunter Henry. So Stephen A. Smith, way ahead of the game. They're getting Hunter Henry for this week. The defense is good.
They got a new kicker for kickoffs.
A specialty kickoff kicker. You know who respects that? Belichick.
Oh, Belichick.
Like, oh, more kickers?
Man,
I wish I'd thought
of that.
So, does that tell you about how the Chargers... So, if you missed it, the Chargers have brought in a guy just to handle kickoff duty. So he's on the active
roster.
I'm
hoping he gets to kick twice in the entire game.
Do you think they believe that the best, like, you don't want to even give Patterson a chance, and maybe they think the offense isn't that good, so you just boot it down there to the 25 and you trust the defense? That's what I would kind of think that it is. Be like, why? Like, they think maybe their best chance is a kick return touchdown or a big swing momentum wise change of field position. I mean, that might be what they're thinking. Maybe they don't respect the Patriots offense at all.
I don't have a strong feeling for the Patriots in this thing. I think they're going to win, but it's not like I'm sitting there. In the past, this level of the playoffs, you'd go, well, the Patriots are going to kill this team.
But do you think the Chargers look at him and say they can't score 30 points?
Probably.
I mean, I think that with that defense, now, Lamar Jackson, completely different game plan. They're not going to be able to throw that out there, obviously, against the Patriots. That's going to be different. But they have guys. It's not just the pass rushers. They have one of the best slot corners in the league in Desmond King. He'll probably be matched up on Edelman throughout the game. Derwin James is a great rookie safety. So they're pretty much covered at every level. That was one of the first things Belichick said when he was asked about the Chargers this week. He's like, you know, they're loaded. You know, they're good. Or maybe it was Brady that even said that. Like, they're good at every level on the defense. And he's not lying. You know, it's true. And then offensively, we just talked with Peter King earlier, and he was talking about how they can hurt you a bunch of different ways. They can win the game more than one way, which it felt like in years past, in this divisional round, it might be an opponent that can only win one way, and then you play right into the Patriots' hands because they'll take that thing away.
617-779-7937. Mike's in Wakefield. Hey, Mike.
What's up, Mike? Mike! All right, forget it.
I'll put him on
hold.
What
are we doing here? But then that happened to Mike the other day. We talked to Mike earlier in the week. He wasn't ready to go.
That wasn't Mike.
Oh, it was a different guy. Was that Sean yelling at Mike? Good.
He's yelling at
him. Good. You should. Get after him a little bit here.
I mean,
it was somebody else the other day. We're just like, what are you doing?
It was a guy we blew up about five times.
Oh, that's true. Maybe that's starting to get to him a little bit.
Because Mike, well, what he told Shime he wanted to talk about was how excited he was to see this game. And it might be just because Patriots fans, for the first time in a long time, aren't thinking it's a walkover.
No, you got a real game. And it's funny. My initial thought was Patriots, when the season ended and you knew that they had a home game in the divisional round, my initial thought was Patriots win that. They're going back to the conference championship game. But the more we've talked about the Chargers, isn't it the more you almost want to pick them? Like, it's hard to find a real weakness there. And part of it is I've seen every single snap the Patriots have had since week one. I've not seen every snap from the Chargers.
You know what scares me to death about this game from the Patriots' perspective? Peter King told us earlier when he was on that he actually thinks that what the Chargers would like to do is run the ball about 50 times. I don't love the Patriots' run defense at all.
No, they'll get slashed. Absolutely,
I mean,
slashed.
If they decide that's how they want to play this game, that they're just going to pound, 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 and it's going to be cold, maybe Phillip Rivers isn't going to throw the ball as effectively, I'm telling you, from a Patriots perspective, that scares the hell out of me.
Well, Melvin Gordon's not 100%, so if there's a chance where, it sounds by all accounts he's going to play and all that, he's going to be active, but he's dealing with a knee injury, and if he's limited, that could really help out the Pats. I mean, because if he's close to full go, I could see a scenario where he's up over 100 yards and
runs
they can also
about a buck 80.
Yeah, and then they mix it in with the other guys too. I mean, he's not going to get 20 carries. That's not what they do with Melvin Gordon. But if he gets between 15 and 18, then they hand it to Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson's been decent for him. I mean, they got a bunch of guys. Like, I mean, the Patriots have given up bigger games on the ground to worse running backs than what the Chargers have.
Should we try Mike again?
Sure.
His last chance
this
here.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I am not worthy of a second attempt, but I appreciate it, gentlemen.
All
appreciate
right.
You being
make
there.
It count, Mike.
First of all, Keith, honestly, the first 5 minutes of that last episode, I was laughing so hard I couldn't breathe for a solid 2 minutes.
Oh, that's very nice to hear. You're talking about the hashtag Dork podcast,
no,
which is available
get
on iTunes
here.
Right now. That's
I
right.
never would have guessed that.
Thank you, Mike.
You finally caught the hot and cold story, finally.
Thank you.
And, okay, so to my point, I am legitimately scared of the Chargers, and I'll tell you why. They got a great defense. They got a quarterback that's literally got nothing to lose. He's on his last leg, so to speak. And they're probably the most legitimate threat I've seen in a long time against the Patriots. I mean, I don't think I've ever had this much anticipation for a Patriots game for a long time. I certainly can't remember someone I was actually worried about And if they mail it in the way they did against Pittsburgh, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah, I mean, the mail-in games are very small in the playoffs.
You don't see mail-in games.
Was a mail-in game. Maybe even the Jets game. So they've had some stinkers, but yeah, I felt way more confident last year against the Eagles in the Super Bowl than I do in this game.
That shows what we knew, right?
They got the best record, the Chargers do, in the conference. They're 8-1 on the road. They've beaten some good teams, including Baltimore, and they really handled Baltimore. Like, I know it got close late, but that happens with teams sometimes. You're protecting a lead. You're playing off defensively. That's the only time Lamar Jackson looked good was because that was not like the normal defense that they had been playing. So in my eyes, they dominated against the Ravens. And so yeah, this is a complete team.
The other problem with the Patriots is they're so different at home and on the road, which is why we've already said if they win and they've got to go to Kansas City, I don't think they're not going to win there.
That would be shocking.
If they win and they get the Colts here, you know, then you think they've at least got a chance to win.
Because the Chargers are better than the Colts, right?
Oh yeah, I think so.
The Colts are hotter.
Yeah.
So maybe that's part of it. We've seen teams in the past, you know, you go back to some of those New York Giants team, a bunch of games. And so we've seen that happen. I think overall, the Chargers are the tougher matchup than the Colts. But I don't know. I mean, if the Colts go into Kansas City and get that win and then come here next week, that would be a pretty serious matchup still.
But the Patriots run defense, which I think is not that great to begin with.
It's not strong.
It's at least better at home than it is on the road.
Everything's better at home.
Yeah, like
Brady's better,
different.
The points per game, everything across the board is better at home. So that is one advantage that they have, but it seems to be offset a little bit by the fact that the Chargers are like the best road team in the league. So maybe it's more of a wash. You know, a lot of teams are, you know, 500, slightly above 500 on the road, like the good teams. And then so the Patriots really have that advantage, but against the Chargers, it might be a bit of a wash.
All of us wanted Houston to come to town.
That would have been a layup. We wouldn't even have to talk about it all week.
We wouldn't really be even worried about it.
No, not even a little bit.
Now you've got an opponent and a quarterback.
Yeah.
Remember when the playoffs were starting and I said the first thing I look at is a team's quarterback. The second thing I look at is a team's defense.
Coach has got to be in there too, right? Maybe third?
Yeah, and I don't know enough about this coach.
I don't know enough about Lynn, to be honest. But I guess you know that. Well, you don't know that he's terrible, right? Like, that's okay. What you have with some of the other guys. You don't know that yet.
Like, what you think Andy Reid will be in the playoffs.
Yeah, like, you're waiting for him to choke at some point. You're waiting for him to screw something up.
Now, the other question here is, if what you get out of the Chargers is what you saw out of them when they played in Baltimore, they probably lose here.
Yeah, it's just so
they're going
to be
facing Tom Brady, and even though we think it's not, you know, the world's greatest offense, it's Brady and Gronk and Edelman and
Hogan. Yeah, but
if they scored
23 points against Baltimore, I feel like they could hang 30 on the Patriots. Isn't that the big difference? I mean, you're right. They don't have to. It's not as big of a challenge to go up against Lamar Jackson as Tom Brady, but the defenses are pretty significant. Like what Phillip Rivers and Gordon and Keenan Allen were going up against. It's an easier opponent for them this Sunday.
If you're feeling good about the Patriots, isn't a big part of it because of travel? You know, the Chargers had to go to Baltimore, then they had to fly home,
yeah,
then
I
they
guess.
Had to fly back.
Bit of a factor. And
I mean, that
could be really
if
cold.
You're hanging your head on that and cold.
It's going to be the coldest game the Chargers played all year. I don't know what that gets you.
If you're hanging your hat on those things, then you don't think your team is as good as their team.
Right. Yeah. If you're saying because of where the game is played, if that's going to be the deciding factor, then yeah, you're right. I mean, if this was although based on the Vegas line, if this was a neutral site game, the Patriots would still be a 1-point favorite. I guess it's sort of a pick 'em.
Basically, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Carlos is in Concord. Hey, Carlos.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
What's going on?
My call.
Sure.
All right. So, I mean, San Diego's coming into Foxborough. I mean, that plays a huge factor. They're not used to playing in the weather. And I think we underestimate the Pats and Wallace's accomplishments. The true GOAT is really Belichick and Brady, and you can't overcome that. So in the end, I think the Pats win just in the sheer factor of the environment and something they're not used to facing. Someone's going to pull a fire alarm anyway. So
that's a good point, Carlos. If we can get them woken up at 3 a.m., that'd probably be pretty ideal. Get those guys up early. That's true.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Carlos.
Look, Phillip Rivers is good. He's a veteran quarterback. He's good. He's tough.
Does Brady being 7-0 against Rivers mean anything?
No.
It's a fun stat, though.
Oh, no, and we say stuff.
But it doesn't matter,
I said it
right?
earlier.
Yeah, it doesn't
you know,
really
matter. He's 4-0 against Rivers here. All of those previous team things as opposed to this year's team things, they really don't mean anything. We use them. We talk about them.
Yeah.
It's like Philip Rivers said. How many guys on his team were on the last Chargers team that played against the Patriots in the playoffs? Like two?
Probably not. Was it the undefeated or the Patriots undefeated regular? Was it 07 was the last time they played each other in the playoffs? So, yeah.
I mean, so almost none.
Nobody, right? Nobody.
Well, Rivers, obviously.
Well, how many even Patriots were on that team? I mean, besides the quarterbacks. What, Gostkowski probably? Like, yeah. That was not, I mean.
Those are the two. Gostkowski
right?
and Brady.
Okay. So, I mean, yeah, you
can
kind of throw that
out. Which
is
why none of those previous team things mean anything to me.
No.
I mean.
It doesn't.
If you played them earlier in the year, that means something to me.
Well, that was like for years and years and years. Every time the Red Sox played the Angels in the playoffs, the Red Sox would win. And then one year, they didn't. Like, it just eventually, it comes to the point. Like, this year, the Patriots' record against the Steelers was through the roof, playoffs or regular season. They just dominated the Steelers. And then this year, what happens? They lose. So that stuff doesn't always work out.
617-779-7937. Daniel's up in Maine. Hey, Daniel.
How's it going, guys?
What's Daniel? Up?
Well, I mean, I wasn't going to call in, but you guys are drinking the Charger Kool-Aid this morning. And
I am.
It's getting to me.
I am. What? Set us straight, then.
Melvin Gordon, braces on both knees. Philip Rivers, I mean, I didn't know the 0-7 stat, but as soon as he throws a pick in this game, the crowd's going nuts, he's going to crumble. I mean, the Pats, one of their best offensive games, the last game against Buffalo.
Buffalo? We're talking about the Buffalo game?
Well, I mean, Buffalo's a solid defense. It means something. Their offense looked good. They're going to roll, there's no doubt in my mind.
No doubt in your mind, huh?
No doubt in my mind.
Oh.
I mean, am I saying good thing Chargers are traveling? Good thing, and that's going to give us the win? Absolutely not. It's going to be Brady at home in the playoffs, possibly his last run. There's so much bigger factor that the Pats win here.
By the way, they scored 24 points against Buffalo. I feel like that might not be.
Brady was spreading the ball around, and quite honestly, they're running the ball a lot and kind of saving Brady's arm right now because obviously he was a little banged up.
Yeah.
But you don't think their offensive game plan going into this game is going to, I don't want to say baffle the Chargers, but it's going to be enough for a double-digit win.
Jeez, double digits.
Double digits.
Well, hey, Daniel, I don't know. So he's down on the Chargers. He said we're drinking that Chargers Kool-Aid. Is that what he was saying? I mean, this is a good team. Great uniform. Great quarterback.
Great song.
Great song. One of the all-time great songs. Although I guess they can't really use it anymore.
San Diego hurts it.
The percentage of people who say San Diego, and we made the rule on Monday, doesn't matter. Say whatever you want. We know who you're talking about. But the percentage of people that say San Diego over LA is staggering. It's like 85%.
You want to hear the new version of this?
I can tell you the truth. I've never heard the whole intro to this before.
It's good.
We usually just pick it up right when they go, Chargers!
This is really strong. There's a LA version?
There's a fan-made version. You want to hear a little bit?
Yeah, of course I do.
What, are you kidding?
This is a real treat. Is this it?
Well, so I made this part, so it sounds good.
Oh. So now you help make this?
Here you go.
LA Compton, Superchargers. LA Compton, Chargers. LA Compton,
Chargers.
LA Compton, Chargers.
Oh, yeah, it's strong.
I like that one a lot.
We're coming your way to the ghetto of L.A.
I got to give him credit. He did a good job with it.
This guy's great. We're going to hear this more tomorrow, too.
It gets week after that, so we'll just...
That's fine. The beginning, though, real strong. Good idea. Great start. So the L.A. Compton Chargers are coming to town. Get excited.
See,
I don't know how that caller... So, just to sum that up, he says the Chargers are traveling. True,
that's
they're
8-1
right. on the road.
They are. Really
so they're,
good
I don't
the
think
road.
That's really helped.
And
that's
the only
hurt
road
them.
Game they lost was in Los Angeles.
So when they leave LA, they are undefeated. It's another way of putting it. And he said the Patriots' offense looked good against the Bills. That's what we're hanging our hat on right now. I needed a little bit more. You know who's going to be the real key to the game, Bill?
Oh,
do you want me to give you an early tip of the key?
There will be keys tomorrow.
Do you want me to give you an early key?
I guess so.
You want me to
How
say
do
it?
I say no? No, give us
it?
One key.
Sony Michel. It's going to be a huge Sony Michel game. Has to be a Sony Michel game. Has to be.
I mean,
has to be.
We
has
sort
be,
of feel be, like both teams are just going to run.
I think
there's
going to be a lot of running. I think it's going to be a 50-50 split.
Which
for the
run
Pats.
Defense do you give a better chance to?
Bro,
LA's.
Boy.
Yeah.
LA's. Yeah.
We've seen the Patriots
Although,
run defense.
Curran made me feel a little bit better yesterday. It sounds like the offensive line for the Patriots is better, or he likes their ability to run the ball better. At least that's what he tried convincing us of yesterday.
I don't know.
Well, that was after you declared him the greatest guest in the history of the Dale and Keefe show.
I think he is.
He got all verklempt.
There's a lot of really good candidates. I would say that he's the best.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe. Woo! Oh, here we go.
Yes, sir.
This part's
L.A. Compton Superchargers. L.A.